Today's scripture readings come from Acts and Luke. Our first reading is from Acts chapter 20, verse 35. In all this, I have given you an example that by such work, we must support the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, for he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And now from Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
As we begin today with a church like St. Luke's on multi-campuses, it's so easy to focus on what's next. Today, I just want us to pause a minute. I want us to reflect on some of the good things we've been doing together with God and celebrate them. So I'm just going to share a couple stories that connect with larger ministries, and then I want to celebrate all those who make them happen. One Sunday, several months ago, the head of the United Women of Faith, Lori Chambers, came up after service and asked for prayer. They didn't have a leader for one of their key community programs. Could we pray about God supplying a leader? So we prayed. And then she immediately went to her Sunday study class at the church, and she was sharing with the group, you know, we don't have a leader for this key program, and I'm afraid it's going to go by the wayside. And there in the group was a new face, John Selinak. He piped up and said, I want to be part of that. Now, the thing is, John was in the wrong room. He had signed up for a different class. So he ended up in the wrong room and said, yeah, I want to be part of that. And now it's more than 6 months later, and John leads that ministry. It's called Feed Everyone, and he leads a team that go to places every week for rescued food like Trader Joe's and then take them to the Dove House for women for recovering from addiction. That Dove House depends heavily on those weekly donations, along with the donations you're getting ready to provide. Like John, so many people here at St. Luke's volunteer, and they serve in our community as tutors, as court advocates, as nonprofit board members, at the local food pantry, and so many others. So if you serve and volunteer in our community, if you give of your time and talents for the flourishing of our communities and our neighbors, I'm going to ask you to be brave. Would you stand? If you serve anywhere in the community, would you stand? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. You can be seated. We thank you. Another story. Barb Graves retired from being marketing and communications, and she moved down to Indianapolis for her retirement. And she started looking for a church, and she tried a couple and then got to St. Luke's and knew immediately that was her place. Then she started looking for ways to give back. She said, so many people had poured into me as a teen, as a young adult, as a single mom, and now, she said, I have more time and I want to give back. She was invited to participate in a hospitality ministry, welcome ministry. And so she started serving at the connection desk, like the one Pastor Mindy talked about. And now for a decade, she's part of that volunteer team. She wanted to welcome people on Sundays so they would know that faith is joyful and that everyone here on our St. Luke's campuses are welcome and that we mean it. She said, last week I had a family come up to me, and one of the family members says, we are a family of two dads and we want to know more about the community. And the welcome they received, she said, seemingly was not the experience they had been having at churches. And so he looked at her and said, we'll be back this next Sunday. She said, serving on that team, it's the best because she says it fills me up. Many of you serve in ministries on one of our campuses or both of our campuses. This summer, we asked you, would you serve in VBS? Would you serve at Middle School Mayhem? Would you serve at the Freedom School? We said, will you be all in for kids? And you said yes. 301 of you served and empowered and loved on almost 450 kids and impacted their lives. So we do want to pause a moment and say thank you for serving in ministries, in ushering and painting the building, in serving in finance, in kids ministries, student ministries, in care ministries, in social justice ministries, in outreach ministries, for the ways you lead groups and Bible studies, and so much more. If you serve anywhere in any of our ministries, would you be brave and stand? Look at that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. We take that time this morning because of what we're getting ready to talk about as well. When I was talking with Barb about her decade of serving in the same team, I said, "What keeps you so committed?" And she said, "What I give, I get so much more back in return. I get so much more." We've heard that over and over. You might remember last month we sent out a survey in our email surveying our campuses of people and Methodists across the nation. And when we asked, what inspires your generosity? The replies were like this. It makes me feel good to be able to help others. Giving of time and money to help others provides fulfillment. I believe the more you give, the more you get. And lastly, as I give away kindness and love, I get the same in return. Over and again, we hear that there's something experientially true about that saying in the Bible. It is more blessed to give than to receive. You can find that saying in the Bible in the book of Acts when Paul is in the city of Ephesus. He's saying goodbye to the church there, a church that he helped start. So he's in this moment doing a little succession planning so that they will carry on helping those in need, so that they will carry on living the faith as a community. So Paul gathers with the elders to make a plan, and in this moment he's giving a speech. And it's the last thing he says. It's the last thing he wants them to remember. He says, this is what Jesus says. It is better to give. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Pastor Rob says he discovered this to be true in his first church. He said, I was a novice in my understanding of generosity. He said, I was believing that people give because you make a compelling case of what their gifts can do. But he learned better from a woman named Betty Hansen. Betty would not have called herself poor, but if you look at the statistics of the time, she would qualify. She was a widow who lived across the road from the church at the base of Cold Mountain. Now, at that time, the United Methodist Conference decided to sponsor its first building team in South Africa during apartheid. This team would help build a church in what was called at the time a black township. So two team leaders stepped forward, and they were going to raise the funds to support the bill. And then one day, Rob got a check for $200 from Betty. He was just shocked. He knew she could not possibly afford that kind of gift. He said, beside, we have a lot of people who lived in what he said is a neighboring country club area, and they would, of course, be able to raise the money, because Pastor Rob would make a compelling case. So he went to see Betty to give her back her check, explaining they would raise the money. He was worried that the case he had made had somehow made her feel guilty. And so that was the time, he said, the only time that Betty got stern with him. She put that check back in his hand and said, Rob, you do not deny me this joy. Betty was his early educator on generosity, teaching him that those who give know that it releases something in them that need to be released, that it multiplies in them some kind of joy. So why did Jesus say it is more blessed to give than to receive? Today, we're digging into that truth. What makes it true? Perhaps one reason is just practical. Generosity makes us better. Science supports this claim. There have been so many studies about the relationship between generosity and well-being. According to the Cleveland Clinic, giving releases the feel-good chemicals in our body, like dopamine and serotonin and oxytocin. Those physical reactions to generosity include better mental health, lower blood pressure, improved sleep. And recently, we've learned that generosity helps regulate our nervous system, lowering the chance for other diseases and helping us build connection. So maybe the truth behind what Jesus is saying is the very practical blessing of health and wellness, that comes with generosity. Or maybe it's about the strange law of nature that comes with generosity. Jesus talks about it in the book of Luke. Here's what he says. He says, "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." A pastor once said, what Jesus is trying to say is like when we bag leaves. Anybody bagging leaves right now? He says, you fill the bag and it's seemingly full, and then you stand in it and you press it down and you squeeze it, and then there's more room. And then you fill it with more leaves and you stand in it and you press it down and you squeeze it, and there's more room. And you do it over and over until the bag is filled. He says, generosity is just like that. It makes room for the blessings of God. It's counterintuitive, but when we give, we open ourselves up for more of what God can do and will do. There was a publication a while back about a young man who grew up in a strict church that taught if you don't tithe, if you don't give 10% to the church, then you're going to H-E double hockey stick. Of course, he turned against tithing and he left the church. But fast forward years later, he earned a degree in engineering, a degree in law from prestigious institutions. He got married, he had a family, and he even returned to church. Though they were earning a significant salary, they were so frustrated because they couldn't save a dime. There was just never any surplus. Then one Sunday, he hears another sermon on tithing, but this time without judgment or guilt. The pastor said this, "Here's my promise. Tithing liberates the tither. You might be 10% poorer, but you'll discover, like people have for thousands of years, that God can stretch your 90% better than you can." The pastor challenged anyone who wasn't tithing, just give it a try. And he said, just so you know, it's not some kind of church gimmick. This year, just give it a try and spread it around. So the couple said, sure, we'll give it a try. And the article says almost immediately a mysterious transformation took place. They found even with giving away 10%, they were able to save 10% of their income. They couldn't explain it. At last, they eventually retired their mortgage early. It made no practical sense, but as people have found for thousands of years, it's some sort of practical demonstration. And for this family, it just brought them new hope in God. The title of this article is An Irrational Act. Where do you think the publication is from? Do you think it's from maybe Christianity Today? Or the Christian Century? Actually, it was in Forbes. It was in Forbes magazine, and it was described as a good investment strategy. Now, I don't guess that Jesus had in mind that tithing is a get-rich-quick scheme, but I do believe that Jesus has something to say about that spiritual truth, that weird counterintuitive thing that happens, that when we tithe, indeed, when we give, it makes room for what God can do, like leaves in a bag. It looks like less, but it's only made room for more. We have no idea how God is going to bless and fill and multiply the room we've made when we're generous. That's the deeper truth of generosity. It's spiritual, it's practical, but deeper still is the truth of what it does in our hearts. So often we hold tight without giving, whether it's time, talents, monies, whatever, because sometimes it seems we just don't have enough to give or enough time to give, or we might feel we don't have much worth giving. Jay Height, the director of the Shepherd Center on the south side of Indy, recently told a story about that. He told the story of Brian, a young boy who was attending a long time ago the activities at Shepherd. This was a family that was working hard, trying to just make enough. Brian's mom was a sex worker, and Brian was responsible for taking care of his 5-year-old sister. He was a young boy with a lot on his shoulders, so having a place like Shepherd to go was a great gift to him. Every Christmas, Shepherd participated in Operation Shoebox, a mission through Samaritan's Purse that sends gifts to children in need. There are always compelling stories about the needs of children, the conditions they're living in, and it provides information of the needs so that people can fill shoeboxes with those items. One day, a volunteer came to Jay's office and said, "Come here, you've got to see this." He followed her into a room where folks had been bringing their shoeboxes with the Needham items to donate, and she handed Jay Brian's box. This is the real picture. Inside it were two Matchbox cars, the only two toys that Brian had, and he gave them away. By realizing he had something to give, it seems he found he wasn't without. He wasn't empty. By giving, he was filled. He came in with joy. He was filled with hope. He was filled with belonging. He was filled with compassion. Doing this somehow filled Brian's heart. Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Somehow, practically, naturally, spiritually, all the way deep into our hearts, giving somehow empties us a bit. But when we give, we find we are not empty at all. We just get filled back up, filled with health, filled with hope, filled with more. After a week like so many of us have had this week, we sure could use a hope that multiplies in our hearts and in our homes and in our communities. Here is one surefire way to find it. Go in faith. Leave here, go in faith and be generous and be blessed. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.